A lot of good song leaders here. A lot of times congregations, their preacher is the song leader too. That's never happened where I preached. And the people were thrilled about it. People would say, do you want to lead a song? I do it one time. That's it. I don't have to worry about it again. They won't ask. In fact, I've even acted like I was going to get up at some congregations and sing, and two people jumped up in front of me. So they don't worry about that. They don't want me to lead singing. That's just not a quality I have. But I will do it if nobody else will. It doesn't bother me at all. That's your problem. If you won't jump up, don't fuss at me when I do. I hope you've had a good holiday season. I hope you've had a good Christmas. I know there's a controversy in the world today. Should you say Christmas? Should you say holiday season? And everybody's fussing about that. It doesn't make any difference at all saying the same thing. We need to take a time, and it's good to take a time to think about Christ, to think about his birth if you want to. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it at all. Now, we mature people, as far as the scriptures are concerned, understand that that's not the time he was born. It was a different season. But the date is not what we're looking at. That's not what we need to be concerned with. We need to be concerned with an opportunity. At that time, people are thinking about Christ more than any other time. They are kinder. They're more loving. And you know, we need to take that time and use it for the glory of God. We need to help them to see how loving and kind we are, not just a week out of the year, not just a day, not just a month, but all the time. And so let's use this thing. Let's use this holiday, as we should use every secular holiday, to glorify God and to help people to see God in a greater way. That's what we need to do with it, and not worry about all this other stuff. But hope you got everything you wanted. If you didn't, don't worry about February or March. They'll send you the bill for what you did get. And that'll surprise you a whole lot. But be careful about that. You know, forgiveness is an important thing. And I just wanted to talk about forgiveness tonight for just a little bit. Forgiveness is something that is so necessary. We see it throughout the New Testament. And we see it throughout the Old Testament too. But maybe in a different kind of way. We see God in the Old Testament as his children sin and he tells them to repent, and we can see that his punishment for them is sometimes very immediate. Sometimes people lost their life because they wouldn't repent. Now today, honestly, if you keep your sins on you and you will not repent of your sins, I don't think you're going to die. I don't know. But that doesn't make any difference. It's still that you're not right with God, or maybe you're not right with someone else. You need to make those sins right with people. You need to get those things straightened out. Don't hold any sin near you. Repent of it and get it as far away from you as you can. Amen. It's kind of like some kind of, some kind of gooey, ooey stuff that you really don't want on you. And you know, you're trying to get away from it, and you want to get as far away from it as you can so it won't touch you. That's the way we need to look at sin. We need to do whatever we have to get away from sin and to stay away from it. And God has provided a way whereby we can do that. We can see that Paul preached about repentance. In fact, Peter, in the first two sermons that we have recorded in the book of Acts, Acts 2 and on other places there in Acts, we see his sermon there, and really his sermon was about repentance, the whole thing. He went and gave them the history of some of the things that were before them that they all knew, and he said, this is what God wants you to do, repent. And he said, every one of you, in Acts 2 and verse 38, every one of you that repents and you're baptized will be saved. There's no doubt about it. Now that's as simple as you can get in the gospel. And that's where we need to stay. I was listening to a fellow in read a book the other day. And I like that. I'm not big on listening to radio, but I like to listen to these different books that have. And this guy has a great book, but he uses words that most people have never used and never will use, and if they use it around their parents, they'll wash their mouths out with soap. It's not a bad word. It's just some of these words that have a higher meaning to it. And I know you need to increase the words that you use. You need to learn the definition for those words. But I'm thinking you're knocking out a whole lot of people if you speak above them. And that's not what he needs to do. And if he would stop doing that, I think his books would be a lot better. And what we need to do is to keep the gospel as simple as it can be. And as simple as it is people need to repent. People have got to turn from their sins, and if they're not willing to do that, then there's no way they can go to heaven. Now, a lady asked a question of a preacher one time, and I wrote this down because I wanted to read it in the right way. Does God forgive someone who does not ask? Now, that's one question. I have never seen where that happened. Second question, should I forgive anyone who doesn't ask? Now, do we need to forgive other people even though they haven't asked? I think so. I think we need to do that for our sake. Now, please understand, I've had people disagree with me on this, and that's okay. I may be wrong and you may be right. Or I might be right and you might be wrong too, so look at it. We need to get those things out of our heart. Because the more you think about the wrongs that other people have done you, the more it's going to eat away at you. The more it's going to hurt you, it's going to hurt your Christianity, it's going to hurt your life, it's going to hurt you, it even hurts your health too. So get those things out of the way. Let it go. Now, are they forgiven before God? No. They've got to go to God and ask God to forgive them. Now, I think it's great, and maybe you've had people come to you and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. I've had to do that several times. And if you speak publicly, you're going to have to do it several times. Or if you're just like me and you speak, you're going to have to do it several times. That's just the way it is. But we need to find out what God has to say about that. And we need to go to God and ask God to forgive us of our sins. And we need to go talk to God about that. Because I'm going to tell you something. The sins that we have on us are the things that are going to keep us out of heaven. We don't need to worry about the world. In one sense, we don't need to worry about other people. What we've got to do is to worry about our sins and getting those things right. I think I heard a fellow the other day talking, and he said the thing that he is concerned with is the sins in his life and that he is loving and helping other people as much as he can. He said, that's what I need to do. I don't need to be somebody that's big and above and greater than other people and I'm closer to God than other people are. We're not any of us as close to God as we really need to be. And so we need to work on that. We've got to be willing to do that. The Bible teaches that we need to repent. Now, if you don't see that, I don't think you got anything else to worry about. God's going to let you in anyhow. If you can't see that we got to repent of sins, then you've missed the whole Old Testament and all of the New Testament too. Because it's really, that's the thing it's dealing with. Jesus sent His Son into the world so that we could have forgiveness of our sins, so that our sins could be cleansed and they would not be remembered against us anymore. Now, we see some of these sins. I thought about us reading Psalms 51, where David is calling on God, and maybe he's already repented of his sins. Maybe God has already forgiven him, but David's coming back and thinking about his sins again. Now, some say this was the time when David was considering his sin and working over this in his mind. I don't know. But here he is going to God and he's pleading with God, God, forgive me. God, don't hold these things against me. Don't let those things be in the way. Don't let those things destroy you, our relationship with each other. In fact, I do want to read some of that. Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my sins. David goes on to talk about his sins and what they were. And they were great. David is a person who knew what it was to sin and he knew what it was to repent. And we see there's several psalms in the book of Psalms that pleads, that we see him just pleading with God to forgive him. Do we have to plead to God to forgive us? Do we have to beg God to forgive us? In one sense, I don't think so. But in another sense, when we realize our sins, we need to keep on telling God, thank you for what you've done for me. If you haven't thanked God for forgiving you of your sins, you need to start doing it. David said, I keep my sins ever before my face. Somebody said, why did he do that? Because he wanted to remember how he felt when he did it, the shame, the hurt, the pain. He even goes and talks about how that his sins hurt his bones. He knew what it was to sin. And he knew what sin was. God had forgiven him. But he wanted to thank God for what God had done for him. He wanted to be appreciative of what God had done to cleanse him and make him right. We can see, the book of Jonah is a good book to look at about repentance, I think. Here's old Jonah. He didn't want to go tell those people down there to repent because he knows what God's going to do. If they'll repent, he'll forgive them. In fact, he said that when God forgave them. I knew it the whole time, God. I knew that as soon as I came down here and preached, if those people repented, you were going to forgive them. And he came to tell them that they were sinners, they were lost, and really he was glad for it. But God forgave them. I wonder if that lesson was for those people, or maybe that lesson was from the preachers. You know preachers need preaching too every once in a while. That's what Linda does. We need that. We need to hear that. It's not just standing up and speaking to other people, but it's also helping your own self to see your own sins. And we've got to see that, and we've got to do that. Our Lord gives us a criteria to go by in looking at our sins and understanding some things about our sins and about forgiveness. Turn with me to Luke 17, if you would, verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. And if you want to mark these passages, I tell you what, I think it'll be good to mark them. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. Now, we take rebuke as a very strong word. It's grabbing him by his shirt collar and just slinging him around a time or two, maybe slapping him at least twice, you know. That's not what it's talking about here. It's saying go to that fella and talk to him about that sin. Get those things straightened out. Go to him, talk to him about that. Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, have you ever asked somebody to forgive you and they looked you square in the eyes and said, no? Let me tell you something. You've done all you can do with that person. They're going to have to stand before God and give an account for that. How can we not forgive others when God's forgiven us of all the things we've done? How can we hold a grudge against somebody for what they've done to us when God didn't hold a grudge against us, but in fact, he was trying to do the things to help us? Remember Romans 6 and 8, where he talks there about that? His love for us was so great that when we were enemies, he was willing to send his son to die for us. Now, were we penitent at that time? Nope. Did it look like we were ever going to be? No. So what happens now? God is willing to continue to work and help people. I think we need to act like God in that. We need to try to help people. We need to try to do what we can. But let me tell you something. If you go to somebody and you ask them to forgive you and they will not do that, then that's something that they're going to have to deal with God. But you keep treating them nice. You keep being the nicest person to them and doing what you can to help them and doing good for them, because that's exactly what God did for us when we were those people that were in sin. He was doing those things to help us to be the right kind of people. And if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turns again to thee and says, I repent, you don't have to forgive him. Is that what's in your Bible? I hadn't heard anybody snoring yet, but I think y'all already gone to sleep on me. He said, you forgive him. Seven times in a day somebody says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, when I hear that, I think of little children. They do things that are wrong. And the mama says, what are you supposed to say? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How many times in a day does a mother tell a child, say you're sorry to your brother, to your sister, to somebody else, or to them? And they do it, and then they go on. That's what we need to do. We need to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is not an easy thing. Forgiveness is not an easy thing. Because sometimes we're hurt so very deep that we can't hardly get over it. We got to learn to get over it. We got to suck it up and go on. We got to learn that this forgiveness is there. And God is saying, and Jesus is saying, if that person sins against you 70 times in a day or whatever it is, whatever figure you want to get on that, it's more than one, and he does that in a day, and then he says, please forgive me. We are obligated to forgive that person. We have to do that. How can I hold a grudge against Paul Jones up here? And I, oh, Paul Jones is just a sorry fella. He's just, I mean, he did this, he did that, and all this stuff. And Paul comes up and says, Charles, I'm sorry. And okay, he's still a rat. He's still this kind of guy. And then I'm going to turn up to God and say, God, forgive me for my sins. Isn't that the height of hypocrisy to do something like that? To say something like that? To not be willing to forgive a brother if he's done you wrong? I mean, what could he do that would cause you not to forgive him? Now, there's some things that maybe in our heart we have to think about. What about the young lady that her father has molested her? See, we don't talk about stuff like that in the church. Should she forgive her father? I met a fellow one time in Mississippi that he'd taken a boy in, and this boy killed his son, and he was having a hard time forgiving him. I understand that, but you also have to learn to forgive. Now, to show you how strange that is, several years ago, there was a lady who forgave the man that killed her son. It was on all the papers. It was on all the talk shows. And the people were talking. Why did they do that? Why did they talk about something like that? Because it's so strange for us to do it. It should not be a strange thing for a Christian to forgive others. But it is. Churches have divided over this. I've heard people say, he didn't say he repented. He said if he did repent. And boy, we'll hang on to a word. Why? Because our hearts are not right. We need to get our heart right. And here it says what we need to do is to learn to forgive our brother. How many times, as many times as he repents, you forgive him? How many times will God forgive you as many times as you repent? What if you go back and do it again? God will still forgive you. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be like God, like Christ. Now, if they do that, we've got to do that. We've got to learn how to do that. Now, the idea of seven here for the Hebrews was that seven was that perfect, complete number. And so here, he said, if you have to forgive him, you know. In fact, Peter's going to come on down here in Matthew 18 just a little bit and say something about that. See, God even tells us how to deal with people when we have problems like that. Now, turn to Matthew 18. Just a couple of passages that we're going to look at tonight. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 15 there, he talks there about how that we're going to have to learn to forgive others. We're going to have to learn to do that. And he said, if your brother has something against you, you need to go to him and you need to talk to him. And you need to go over there and talk to him and try to get this thing worked out. Maybe if he sinned against you, you go over there and talk to him. Don't let this thing build up in you, because if it builds up, it makes you more hard-hearted. It makes you invent things in your mind, and you add to what was said. You add to how hurtful the thing was done, and it becomes such a terrible thing, and we build it up in ourselves. He says, go to him and talk to him. And if you go to him and talk to him, and you get that thing worked out, hey, listen, you've delivered your brother. You've made it right. If he won't repent, you take somebody else over there with you. Show him how serious you are about this thing. And you talk to him. And then thirdly, he says, listen, if he won't repent when you talk to him, if he won't repent when other people from the church, other Christians come and encourage him to do that, then take it to the whole church. How do you do that? How do you take that to the whole church? What if a congregation said, if two members have a problem, this is what we're going to do to solve it? Of all things, we're going to take the Bible to solve this thing. And if you've got a problem with somebody, go get it straightened out. If you can't do that, then ask some of the men in the congregation to go with you, or ladies to go with you if it's a lady, I think. And you talk to them about that. Now, what if the church said, okay, if this is not going to work and you're not going to be willing to work that, then we've got to get up Sunday morning and say there's a problem here. Brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so have a disagreement. We want y'all to pray for them, that they might come together, that they might not cause this problem to continue any longer. You pray for them that this might be solved, but please do not take sides with anybody. Don't get over here on this brother's side or this brother's side, but get the thing straightened out. We've got two sisters that have had a problem. And it's so and so and so. Let me tell you something. You do that about one time, people start getting their problems straightened out. Our problem is, we don't have enough faith in the Bible to do it that way. And then we look at the world and talk about their faith. Let me tell you something. Look in the mirror, church. Trying to straighten the problem out. Peter comes up. Starting verse 21. Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Till seven times? Under Jewish tradition, they were to forgive four times. So what he did is just, three times. So what he did is he just doubled it and added one. So that's seven. That perfect, complete number there. He said, should I forgive him seven times? And Jesus said to him, I say not under seven times, but under 70 times seven. That's how far you're supposed to go in that. Wow. You mean I got to forgive people that much? Yes. Because you look at how many times God has had to forgive you. I don't know about you, but when you sin, you need to go to God. You don't need to wait to come down here to respond, to sit on the front pew and tell a preacher that. Some people think that's the only way you can get rid of sins. Let me tell you something. You can go to God and ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you wherever you're at. Right? That's right. Y'all don't get too excited about this, okay? It's time we learn this idea of forgiving others. It's time we learn the idea of God forgiving us. What we've got to do is to forgive others for what they have done to us. To get them out of the way. Don't let them eat you up. See, sometimes because I've been done wrong, I can justify my hateful, hurtful, and harmful feelings and actions toward you. Let me tell you something, that's a lie. You don't have the right to hurt anybody. You don't have the right to speak bad about anybody. We need to speak good about people. We need to say good things about people and help them. Forgiveness has no limits. God doesn't limit his forgiveness. I can't limit mine. And you can't limit yours. Now, this is one of those things that, boy, it's hard to do. But we've got to learn to forgive others. Jesus and God have forgiven us of all of our sins. We shouldn't harbor any hard feelings toward other people. We've got to get that out of our way. And it's not right for us to do that. We have no right to act that way. We need to be like it was in Colossians 3 and verse 13. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do the same. You got to do it too. Let me tell you something. When we understand the idea of forgiveness from God, the forgiveness of man is simpler to do. But you see, we hadn't even learned to forgive each other. So we question our forgiveness from God. We question God. And we question whether God's forgiven us. Think about those sins that you did years ago and they come back to your mind and you go, oh, hope nobody finds out about that. If you've asked God to forgive you, you need to say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for blotting out those things that were wrong in my life and helping me to be a better person and to be more like your disciples. We should have the loving attitude that Christ had, that God had, that our Father had. Listen to Hebrews 8 and verse 12. This is God, merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. They're out of there. They don't look at that person and think about what they said to them. They don't look at that person and think about, well, you know, what this. You don't think about it. You get that out of your mind. Now, listen, stop for just a minute. Do a commercial here. Is that easy to do? No. They have hurt me. They have hurt somebody in my family. They have said something or done something to them. And let me tell you something, it's not easy to do. But do it. There's a lot of things that are hard to do that are best for us. Have you seen, we saw that little movie last night, Molly McPhee, where those kids were sick in the bed and they couldn't get up, and she mixed that medicine, and in that spoon that medicine was going like this, and she gave it to them, and it wasn't, oh, it awful, you know. Medicine doesn't always taste good, but sometimes you have to overcome what doesn't taste good to do what is right to get the benefits out of it. And we have to do that. Sometimes our medicine in Christianity is a little hard to swallow. But if we want to be healed, we have got to have it. We've got to have it in our lives. We've got to be those kind of people. Listen to Hebrews 10 and verse 17. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. I mean, you know, say it once, okay. Say it twice, okay. God wants us to learn to forgive others. God wants us to learn to forgive ourselves too. And sometimes it's harder for me to forgive myself than it is anybody else. But God wants me to do that. Why is it that we'll forgive others for things that are wrong, and we do the same thing and we can't forgive ourselves? Forgive yourself. God said He would. And He will do that. He will forgive you of every sin. How do we know that someone has repented? First of all, they've said it. Then secondly, it changes their life. But wait a minute. What if they come back and do it again? I still give it to them again. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, they repented, but boy, their life has not changed a whole lot. I don't know about you, but sometimes my repenting of sins didn't take the first time for me. I did it again. And I had to ask again, and I had to ask again, and I had to ask again. And God said, I'll forgive you, I'll forgive you, I'll forgive you. Now, we need to show in our lives that we've changed. That's got to be. So change our conduct, and it might help us just a little bit. Change our heart, and it might help us just a little bit. And chain ourselves to God, who knows how to forgive and does forgive, so that we can know how to forgive. And learn to forgive others, learn to forgive ourselves, learn to turn from sins, and enjoy this thing of Christianity that we've got. Enjoy it. God wanted us to do that. He's given us His church. He's given us His word. He's given us everything we need. What do we got to be worried about? With the help of Jesus Christ, with the help of God, you can overcome the devil. And I don't care what darts he throws your way, you can overcome them. Now you may be scarred, you may be hurting, but he's there. The great physician now is here. Please come to the great physician for forgiveness wherever you are spiritually, right now as we stand and as we sing.